Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in this morning with mothers and daughters around the world. Here we go. It's a great day. It's snowing on the outside. Good, good day. Just to look out and see. I was in the window last night looking at God doing his thing, showering us with a beautiful, beautiful snow. Absolutely gorgeous. So, well, the sun is out now. I guess it'll melt some of it away. But, you know, we had snow all week lingering from last week. So it's a good thing. I hope everybody's doing fine and healthy. Let's see what we have here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm absolutely wonderful. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm good, Deborah. I mean, you know, we all can pull out a little book and write down a lot of stuff. But when you weigh the sides, you know what I mean? I like to tell my clients sometimes, just take a piece of paper and draw a line and put all the likes and dislikes or the things that are good and the thing versus the things that are bad, and I guarantee you good's going to come out every time. Good is going to outweigh it. So whenever you're out there, mothers and daughters, and you don't know if life is good for you, you sit down and do that, you will actually see and really be honest with yourself, the good will outweigh the bad every time. You have to count things that were like, you know, I'm breathing, I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm hearing. You know what I mean? By the time you put in all those things, you know what I mean? There's nothing can compare to the good that God is doing in your life every day, every second.
Amen.
So, yeah, you just can't compare it. So with that, before we get started this morning, would you do the prayer for us, please, ma'am?
Yes, thank you. We just come to you, Lord, saying thank you for waking us up in our right minds. Thank you for all the beautiful gifts that we notice and some we let be unnoticed. Forgive us for that. Thank you for using us this morning for your glory. Thank you for the gift of being able to edify and build up your mothers and daughters. Thank you for all your precious gifts. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't think Cynthia is going to be with us this morning. She didn't say. She may jump on here in a little bit.
Okay.
She's not on this morning. Of course, we know this is her week to work, and she may not have an opportunity to come on with us today. But, as I could say, the show goes on. We'll miss her, though. But I do appreciate it because that's something to try to get off on your job. You know how that works, Deborah.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, you can't. you can't always jump off. You know, you may have plans, especially when you're dealing in with clients and people with mental health. You never know when you're going to run across someone that has a crisis. So that's it's a very intense job. So how was your week last week?
I tell you, I was just sitting here because I knew you was going to pose the question. And I say, you know, all I could go back to, now the week was a busy rollerblade type, you know, all week, you know, trying to knock down some of that pile of stuff in my inbox. You know, like I could get 10 things on my desk and do five and put five back and then still run the facility. So I just look back at Monday, because Monday I didn't work. I went with Mom, and I tell you, my mom was hugging me and give me another hug, and I was just like, okay, I'm loving this thing here, you know? And I'm just telling you that, it, you know, like, she's not a hugger. She'll greet you when you come in. You know, we get that. But, you know, I came in with my hands. I had the coffee. I always take a coffee. That's a ritual. We do coffee and donuts. That's the only time she get the Dunkin' Donuts when the girls come up. So it's like a ritual thing. You don't come up there without Dunkin' Donuts. But I had Georgia Smoke. So anyway, she wanted to cook breakfast for me. So my hands was full. So I didn't get the hug. And then because of COVID, I've been thrown off, like not hugging. Just people, period, right? So she was saying something. I'm so happy you're here. Give me a hug. And then something else happened. Give me another hug. I was like, yes, Lord, you know. And so as I was sitting here saying, I know she's going to ask the question, and I'm just, it's just really starting to just work its way without me doing all my, well, what I'm going to call it, what I'm going to talk about. God always give us something to talk about. You know, because that was one of the things. Don't bother her. Oh, you should, you know, what are we going to talk about? But we always find a whole hour and something to talk about, you know. Mm-hmm. So my week started out fabulous, and I had to look back to that because if I talk about the 4 days that I was on the rollerblades, I will forget the blessing of how Monday started, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because it's mother and daughter, so I'm just testifying that. And then even this came to me as I was sitting here. Ain't no perfect moms out there. Ain't no perfect daughters. Come on now. You know what I mean? Like you looking for somebody to round up to your expectation and your standard and definitely and you can see the flaw. Look at the speck, the big bold in your own eye, Deborah. Why are you looking at that little speck right there? Mm-hmm. Look at that big boulder. Yeah. Ain't no perfect. Nobody's down here. And so,
and you know what, Deborah? If mothers and daughters could get that will shift their relationship. I keep telling them, why are you looking for one or the other to be perfect? God said there's no perfect one. Mm. So why are you looking for perfect in your eyes? They can do what you say today, and then tomorrow you done changed because you ain't perfect. So you done changed your thought because you heard something somebody else said. Now you want them to change. Come on. You're right.
Yep. I just say, Lord, I thank you because I'm telling you, I'm sitting here and looking at the clock saying, okay, I got 10 minutes, 15, whatever. And I went through that in my head, the you know, how was my week thing. And normally I don't do that. I just, when you ask me, I just tell you, I've been on blades, roller blades. I've been all flipped up, rubbed up, beat up, but I made it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh,
I usually say, hey, I thank God for Friday, but I just went back to Monday. You know, Michael and King, they spent it with her, and she say, then she say, we was riding. We went, we didn't really do nothing. We just went and got clothes out to clean us, you know, little stuff. She said, I see why people have a driver. Because other than that, she's always driving. She drives herself everywhere. She said, I see why people have a driver. And I love this, you know. And then she say, We used to come up all the time. I said, well, that was till you got a job, lady. You know, you went to work on the days I'm off. So that's what happened. She said, oh, that's right. Because y'all don't start. Everybody, my business short. No, you start working. You work on my off days. And so I have to always remind her, you know, praise the Lord, you're in the medical field, so you work, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, she worked 10 hours a day. She worked them days, so I worked the other days. So that's how the business got cut. So, she made me breakfast and I volunteered. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Deborah, mothers and daughters, you know, you may say, okay, so what's the big deal about that, Deborah? Well, you have to know the background. You know, Deborah and her mother, you know, rebuilding their relationship. And so what I'm hearing, Deborah, if you don't mind me saying this, what I'm hearing is that, you know, Deborah has been holding her mother accountable for certain things that she thought her mother should do when she thought her mother should do it. But then learned that she really was so much like her mother that she's doing the same thing her mother was doing. And I think that was your breakthrough there, Deborah. When you said that, I knew then that was the breakthrough. And see, what happens that when you have the breakthrough and then you got it settled in your spirit, your mother's still the same person, but she feels a different energy from you. That's why you got the breakfast and give me another hug, because she said, wow, there's something about her today. You know what I'm saying? You can't put your hands on it. But see, that wall that you had was broken and torn down. And she could feel your spirit and your heart. And that's why you got those hugs. And that's what I tell mothers and daughters all the time. As long as you got a wall up. Some people say, well, I don't have a wall up. Yeah. Anytime you're not communicating with someone, there's a wall. There's a certain boundary that you have set of expectations, and when that don't happen, you put another brick on the wall. You put some more cement on it, and then all of a sudden you got a stone wall, and you really can't see over it, around it, under it, and you just hearing the voices, and that's it, but feeling nothing. But I knew when you said, I realized I do the same thing. You were free.
Yep. Don't want to talk.
Tell them what the same thing was.
Well, let me fill them in and say, so they know what the same thing was. I was saying that sometime I called, my mom don't answer. She accidentally put it on airplane mode, you know, or she just do not disturb sign goes up, you know, in a way. And so my sister said, well, she do that, she just drive down there. I said, well, but I ain't the one to just jump in the car and be going down there and not going to stand outside your door and you having a moment, you don't want to talk about it. But when I come home from work, I don't even be on the phone. This is probably the most I'd be on the phone on Saturdays outside of when I do call her or somebody might call, but hardly do I get calls. But I'm talking about, I be talked out because from the time I go to work, from the time I clock in, it's a talking job, talking on the phone, talking to somebody at the door, somebody needs something. And it's a service that I have to give. So there's no way I can just go shut the door and shut out and say I'm not going to talk. Y'all let me do my paperwork. Let me do my, you know, it's a lot of talking. The guys live in the building where I work, so they can just come to the office. Well, they live in the same wing where I work at. So it's not that I could avoid it, but it's a lot of talking. It's a talky job. So when I get home, I'm pretty much talked out and don't want to talk no more till I have to talk on Mondays. And so I don't call. Because I don't want to talk, but it's nothing personal against her that I don't want to talk to her. I just don't want to talk to nobody. Sometimes I be like, God, can I just sit here and in my mind talk to you? Because I just feel like I don't want to talk, God. I know he understands, because I'm just talked out. And then I have to get rejuvenated, get my spirit edified, build me up or whatever. And so now I had to see that I have that same thing. So I'm talking about my mama putting her phone on airplane mode. I don't put it on airplane mode, but I just don't call nobody. And if you call me, you might get the call me back thing. I'm saying, oh, I swipe it. I'm being honest. I swipe the red button. It means in that. And then later I had to pump myself up, go on the call, because you know ain't no 5-minute conversation. So just carve out an hour and go and have a conversation. And then I'm enjoying the conversation, then you can't get me off the phone, you know?
So, right.
Yeah, but I'm learning that, I'm taught now. So I just discovered that me and my mama got that thing alike. But it took me some years to even see it. I've been on this job almost 9 years. Talking, you know, but we got that same thing. She don't want to talk. So why am I holding it against her? Because she don't. Maybe I say she could do it better. Just say, just text me back. I'm meditating and I'm in the Lord, or I'm just in my mood, or I'm just don't feel. I'll call you later. But when I don't get that, I take it personal. I used to take it personal, but now I understand that she need her moments too. And so that's what I mean by. I got that revelation that I got that thing like my mama.
Yeah, and another thing too, Deborah, we have to look at, you are a single woman, and you live in your own place, so you can control your environment, but she's a married woman. Now, anybody that's married know that you may call at the time when she aggravated with her husband or enjoying her husband. You know what I'm saying? So you got another element there. That,
right.
You know, her and her husband maybe just sitting down having a conversation, have a cup of coffee. She said, oh, that's Deb. Okay, I'll call her back. And keep going, you know, because some, you know, husbands are like, you know, I'm sitting down spending time with you. The phone rings. You stop talking to me and answer the phone. You never know what their arrangements is.
Right.
You have to take that in consideration, too. She has a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Which really comes before the children.
Mm-hmm.
So. But anyway, you got it, and I am glad you got that loving. I am so glad you got that loving, because I know it was needed, and I'm glad she needed it, you need it, and whatever it is, she's probably saying, I don't know what happened, Lord, but thank you. And you saying the same thing. Just keep it going. That's awesome.
Amen.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, my week this past week was basically achieving a lot. You know, just plowing through, and Cynthia used to use the word determined. I told Cynthia, well, I'm taking on your word now. I'm determined that nothing's gonna stop me. I'm gonna keep doing. I got things I've got to do to meet some deadlines, and the Holy Spirit is helping me. The Holy Spirit is helping me get those things done. And every time I said, Holy Spirit, I need your help, I'm telling you, He jumps right in there and helped me. Holy Spirit, I can't find this. The Holy Spirit will have to jump right in there. Now, just like this morning, I was sitting there talking to the Holy Spirit, and I don't know where I went to, deep into the Holy Spirit, and my daughter called me, and she said, well, I thought I'd just call you, because she likes to call me on Saturday morning before I get on the radio, check on me. I just called and say good morning before you get on the radio. I said, what time is it? She said, 9:34. Oh, my God, I had set one thing up, Deborah. I was like, 9:34? It just talking to the Lord, you know, you can get into 2 or 3 hours talking to the Lord and not even realize it seemed like it's a minute. So I jumped running 1 minute before the thing. Well, no, actually, it was about 4 minutes when I actually clicked and had everything set up. And next thing I know, later, something 1 minute before showtime, I was like, my goodness. But it's a good week. We had a board meeting. That was a good board meeting. And so just a lot of stuff coming together. I just thank God that He's helping me to do my part. You know, could be doing it a lot easier, but, you know, with the situation that I'm going through. But, you know, hey, it is what it is, and it's getting done. So I'm happy. I'm happy.
That's
all right.
Good.
Yeah. I tell you. I can see God's hand. You know, I mean, I just keep saying, God, I see your hands on me. So I just keep the word in me. And I'm telling you, and this week has been a week of prayer. I don't want to overlook that. We have so many board members, and I have people calling me, and about their family members and praying, and it's, I don't want to neglect that because that's a very big part of my week. And sometimes it's so overwhelming. Like this week, it was overwhelming to me. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to say anymore, Deborah. I just don't know nothing else to say, but, you know, just we're just going to praise God and thank him and that his will be done, you know, because his will is the will. And we're going to align ourselves with the will and his promises that we are healed, we are healthy, we are prosperous. Jesus died, hung on the cross, you know, gave up his body, suffered for us to be healed. And we have to believe that, and we have to accept that. Otherwise, his whole hanging on the cross, the whole ordeal, would be null and void. So I just have to remind myself, we are healed, but we have to believe that. We have to accept the promises, and we're covered by the blood. And those are the wills of God and his promises. And so whenever I hear it, I just go back to that and say, God, you know, it's a spirit of infirmity and it's not real. It's not God. It's a lie. And that's all I can say. Pray for those things to leave that person. But it's a lot. It's a lot. But this too shall pass, as they say.
Amen.
But this too shall pass. We're just going to keep going and keep just thanking God. And this demon and this infirmity of COVID-19, it shall pass and it will leave. So everybody
Amen.
Out there, mothers and daughters out there, we just praying for you. I pray for everybody. I don't know who to pray for. I just pray for every human. I said, Lord, I pray for every human. And just lump us all together, our Father. You know, we're all is our Father. And that way you feel like you don't miss anybody. You got everybody that's included in that. All right, Deborah. Well, I'm going to, and believe it or not, that's going to be our topic for this morning. Mothers and daughters, not your will, but God's. And that's what we're going to talk about. Huh?
Amen. Your will, but God.
Yeah. Not your will, but God's. And, you know, I was hustling. The Holy Spirit, what do you want to talk about? Because, you know, I had short minutes trying to set up, and I was waiting. So that's the topic he gave me. And I'll come back and pick you up in a few minutes, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, mothers and daughters out there. You know, our topic is, mothers and daughters, not your will, but God's. And you hear people say, but God. You know, I would have gone under, but God. But God what? You know, they don't finish it. They just say, but God. And, you know, and then it became a cliche because people know there's an understanding meaning behind that, but God. I couldn't have made it, but God. I was sick and doctor said, but God. Because that's what they want you to know, but God. If it wasn't for God's will, that's what the but God means. But God's will, God's promise kicked in. I remembered something that God said. See, but God. But God, see, but God, I'm trying to make sure I get this thing. But God, if you don't know the word of God, you won't know but God what. That's why he says, study and make thyself approved. Keep my words in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth. Because one day, you're going to need an end to that statement. If you don't have the word of God in your heart, mothers and daughters, if you don't know what God promised us, you won't know how to end that statement but God. You will be saying, but God, what? Why they say that? But God. That's an incomplete sentence. You know, you get all educational on it. But when you know the word of God, when you know the will of God, and the will of God is his word. The will of God, don't try to make it hard. I don't know the will of God. Well, that means you don't know the word of God. His word is his will. What he say is what he means. What he said is what he gonna do. And if you know what he said, then you know his will. Some people will say, well, her illness, well, if it's God's will, she'll be healed. And see, that's not right. That's not what he said. He never said, well, you'll be healed if it's my will, Bessie. When that time come, I'll think about it. That was never said. But people turn it around. If it's his will. No, his will said, by his stripes you were healed. So if you were healed, you are healed. That's his will. So when people are saying, if it's God's will, they'll do this, that, and the other. If you know his word, you'll say, well, it's God's will that she's healed. Now, what I'm praying for is that she realize that she's healed, that she realize and believe in the word of God. That's why God said faith. Well, Jesus said it. Faith is what moved God. And what is faith? Faith is only believing in what God said. Because if he said it and he cannot lie, then that means it's a truth. That means it cannot be changed. That means one and one is two. That means whatever's up, coming down. It's not going to change. The only difference in what he said and what you receive, it's what you believe. You don't believe it, you don't receive it. He said, but whatever you believe in your heart and don't doubt it, you shall receive it. Now, if you go into Mark 11, 22, 23, and 22 says, have faith in God. Very simple. Have faith in God. Now you got to believe that whatever he said is true. That's having faith in God. But see, we want to kind of waver when it comes to God. Now, why would you waver when it comes to God? He's the creator. You did not create yourself. Think about that. You created, he created you. He know you. He know how many cells in your body. He know how much blood is in your veins. He know how many pores is in your skin. Come on. He know every organ. The dynamics of it, you know, if it's 2 inches, 3 inches, a half inch thick, whatever. He has all of those figures. He knows you. He created you. He knows how many breaths you've breathed up to this moment. He knows how many pictures you've taken with your eyes. He knows how many things you've smelled from the time you were born to now. He know how many tears you cried. He know how many laughs you've made. He know how many smiles you gave away. He knows how many hairs on your head, how many fall off, and how many stubbed into the skin that will not grow back. He knows. He knows the inches of fingernails that would be on your fingers now had you not cut them or your toenails. He knows how many sounds you've heard from the time you were born to now. He knows. He knows every thought that you've thought. He knows how many words you've spoken. He knows how many times you swallow. You see, this thing can go on and on and on and on. So somebody that know you, made you, you should not have a doubt that he's God. But yet, you will depend on something that man said without a shadow of a doubt. You would depend on getting that paycheck on Friday. You would depend on that Social Security check coming in. In fact, you will just write somebody a check and post date it and say, you know, because I'm getting my check on Friday, so just go ahead and take this check and deposit it on Friday. My check will be in there. You have no doubt. But how many times have you said to the doctor, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. I got healing in this department. So I'll just take this and deposit it into my healing. Whatever you say is wrong in that area, I'm going to deposit that into my healing department in that area. Because, see, I already got healing for that. And I'm going to pull up my healing. I already got a bank account, a heavenly bank account. And I'm going to draw money out of it. It's right there for you. If you can believe that. He even said in 11:23 that you could say something to a mountain and tell it to move. And the mountain can be anything. A mountain can be that aggravating person that's in your life. A mountain can be that job that you don't want anymore, and a mountain can be the bills. You can cast those things into the ocean. If you believe that, you can tell it to move. Get away from me. Bill, I dissolve you. You know, that's just too much, like, wow, you know, really, can you do it all day? But now you look at television and you see all the mystical things that they do and you're wowed by it. All they're showing you is that you have that mystical power. But we have been inundated with other people's thoughts, other people's opinions, and that's the way the enemy works. He gives you so much to look at, to hear, to taste, to, you know, gather data. And then that puts doubt. The more data you get from the world, it clouds your vision for the will of God that's inside of you. He said, don't look outside for me. Because see, God is not outside of you. So his will is not outside of you. His will is inside of you. His will is in your heart. And he says, whatever in your heart will come out of your mouth. So if you got God and his will and his promises in your heart, you're going to speak those words. When something come up, you will say, no, that's not the will of God. The will of God says, I'm healed. The will of God says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The will of God said to trust him. No matter what it looks like, just trust him, because I'm with you, Bessie. The will of God says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The will of God is the promises of God. Now, how do you know that? Because he sent Jesus to tell you. He tried Abraham. He tried Elijah. He tried Ruth. He tried Naomi. He tried Esther. He tried Job. He tried Noah. He tried so many people. And then he said, I need someone that can be the sacrificial lamb. Because in order for the sins to be forgiven, they had to either go before God through the tabernacle. They had to sacrifice a lamb and do rituals with the blood to cleanse everybody. But that was just for a year. And the people really, they knew the person that God chose. Like people knew Moses. They knew Moses before Moses became Moses chosen by God. So no matter what you do to change, people are still going to hold you hostage for your past. Oh, Moses, kill a man. I ain't following Moses nowhere. You know Moses crazy? I ain't following Moses. Didn't he marry that black woman? No, No, Moses been in the woods and he hadn't been socializing. No, I ain't following Moses nowhere. Can you only imagine people were saying that? Not knowing that God entered Moses' heart and using Moses' body, and God was walking through the desert with them in Moses' body. God was there. But they were so busy looking at Moses' past that they couldn't see the renewed Moses. Now, even though God said, okay, I'm going to have to suit up. I'm going to bring in a whole new baby that's fresh from a virgin, everything pure. I'm going to show them. But even at that, they saw that one little flicker in the eyes of Jesus. Isn't that Joseph and Mary's boy? He's a carpenter's son. Yeah, but you saw him raise that person from the dead? Well, I don't believe it. No, we saw it. See, when he went back home, people out there didn't know about him as he traveled. But when he went back home, and can you imagine he came back with all of his disciples and came to see his mother and in the town. And people were like, well, what do you mean he's raising the dead? What do you mean he's healing the sick? That's Joseph and Mary's boy. I remember him as a little boy. Da 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 da. Looking at his past. And that's what we do. We look at our past. And we use that to not believe the word of God because we feel that we don't deserve it. And mothers, when you can get yourself together and have your breakthrough and realize, I have no past. If you are a child of God, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have asked him to forgive you for your sins, all your sins, he said, is forgiven. Everything that you've done in your past is erased and not remembered anymore. But you got to know the word of God. You got to know the will. The will of God is I will not charge your past to you once you receive my son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to take all of that off your books. So when you come here, you're not going to see that in your movie. You're not going to see that in your discussion. Because he said what? I will remember it no more. But you are working off of your will, and your will is to keep yourself in a prison when you're already freed. So the will of God, the will of God is for you to be happy, to be healthy, to be prosperous, to have the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, happiness, goodness, self-control, kindness, you know, love, gentleness. He gave you faith. And he said, if you only use just a little pinch of it, the size of a mustard seed, that's more than enough. More than enough to cover anything that you can imagine. Because I used to say, well, I got more faith than the size of a mustard seed. But you have to realize, he said, I gave every man the same measure of faith. So let's just say the same measure of faith was a gallon. So everybody got a gallon of faith. And out of that gallon, just look at, imagine a gallon jar in your mind. And out of that gallon jar, you're just going to pinch off a little piece of faith the size of a mustard seed. Look how much more faith you got in that jar. But he's saying, if you could just pinch off that much faith and believe in me just that much, my will be activated in your life. The promises will be activated. And you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to go back and try to redeem yourself. You have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are already there. If you could just take that little piece of faith out of that jar the size of a mustard seed, and give that to Jesus. Here, Jesus, I'm giving you my faith. I got this much faith. I believe. But can you imagine if we used all the faith that's in that gallon jug? Then we would be little gods. We could create heavens and earth. He said, because what I've done, you can do an even greater thing if you believe, but we won't use everything in that jar. We'll just take that little piece of faith and hope that's enough. And a lot of people can't take out enough. That's a mustard seed because they don't believe it. And you wonder why we go through the things that we go through. Can you imagine now if everybody just took out a pinch of faith the size of a mustard seed, every human being? There would be no diseases. There would be no deaths. There would be no killings. There would be joy. It would be heaven on this earth. But when you don't believe or when you don't know, see, you have to know to believe. One doesn't work without the other. You have to know the Word of God. You have to study it. You have to talk to God about it. And then you get it settled in your spirit. And when you get it settled in your spirit, you believe it. Then you go back and you see God work. See, I've seen miracles that God has performed in my life. And that let me know miracles are real. God is real. But he shows you that. Every day, you cut your arm, you may run to the doctor. And the doctor says, oh, well, we're going to have to put some stitches in it. You're thinking, oh, wow, the doctor stitched it up and it healed up. No, if you didn't go to the doctor, I'm going to use your finger, for instance, something that you probably wouldn't go to the doctor about. You cut it, are you cutting something, tomatoes or onion or something? And then you do what you do, and then in a couple of hours, you'll see it forming back together. It comes back together. See, that's a miracle. That's the will of God. He already told you, by stripes you healed, and you see it, your skin coming back together. You see the healing take place in front of your own eyes, but yet you don't believe. You don't believe he can heal your body. When he says you're already healed, the body knows to heal itself. You didn't have to tell your finger, cut, heal yourself, finger. You don't have to say anything. Because Jesus told you it's already done. And certain things is going to just happen anyway without you giving permission. So if we just relax and let the healing take place wherever there is a disease, which means diseased, mean there's something that's uneased in your body. Relax and let peace come into it. And it will no longer be diseased. It will be in a peaceful state. And the manifestation of healing will just take place. Now that's for me. I always tell you, when you join me, the lessons are taught to me and I share them with you. I didn't know any of this before the Holy Spirit spoke. But I could feel as the words was coming out of my mouth. I said, that's for me, God. And I thank you. That's for me. So to get there, you need to go in, find the Word of God, study it, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive you for your sin. Ask Him to come live into your heart. And ask Him to give you the Holy Spirit, your guide. And start right there and start reading. And if you say, well, I'm not a reader, I don't understand the Bible, hey, take your phone out, which is in your hand 24/7 anyway, download you a Bible app, or just go to YouTube and click and listen to the audio. We got audio Bibles everywhere that can read to you. You can sit back and relax and listen. So there's no excuse. And when you're just sitting around doing whatever, let the Word of God play while you're cleaning up. Let the Word of God play. Turn off some of that other stuff, television, crazy stuff. Let the Word of God and just soak your body and your mind in the Word of God. And it'll start living in you. And the Holy Spirit is there to remind you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you of what He said. So you don't have to worry about, I can't remember. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what did Jesus say about so-and-so? And He will tell you. Wait on it. Don't be so quick to say He got an answer. He's not going to talk to you like you're talking to another person. You'll feel a quiet voice coming up from within their belly. And He'll speak to you. But you got to listen. And that's how you get with the Word of God. All right, Deborah, back to you.
Oh, I tell you. I say, well, she hit some of my points. I could just slide that to the side. Praise the Lord when you were talking about the love, joy, peace in Galatians 5:22 and 23. And so I said, okay, I won't be redundant. So let me go with, you know.
That's okay. Tell what the Lord told you because somebody's going to hear it. I didn't give them the Bible first. So, yeah, do what the God told you to do, honey.
Okay, so we want to, you know, the will of God, and some people be like, well, I don't know, God don't talk to me, and I don't know what His will is. His will is His word. He tell us in His word. He said, do this, do that, and you need help, pray, and then I'll help you. I won't put them on that you can bear. And I was just telling somebody the other day using a scenario about if you got a five-year-old kid, y'all just come from the grocery store, and of course they got their snacks in their hand. They want to run in the house with that bag, but you got a whole lot more. You say, well, help mama. And then when they come back, you try to look at things that you know that they could carry. And God is saying, I'm not going to put no more on than you can carry. I'm not going to give that five-year-old a case of water so he could buckle and fall. The mama ain't trying to set the child up to sprain the ankle or to drop and bust the water. God ain't trying to set us up to be buckling and falling up under the pressure. He said, if it's on you, you could carry it. If it's on you, you walking in it. If it's on you, time is passing. It will come to an end. It may not last forever. For your mind, you might think it's forever, but God is saying it's temporarily. This too shall pass. If it's on you, you could carry it. And so he says, seek my will. What's my will? Let heaven come to earth. We said the prayer before we opened up. And Matthew 16, thy kingdom come. Jesus said, I came to do the will of God. And he talks about that in John. He said, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He came from heaven, come to earth to show us the way. So he had to come down in our humanity, in his humanity, to show us that I'm human. And I sin not, that I could do it. And when I leave, I'm going to leave the Holy Ghost power with you so you can overcome the things that I overcame, or even more. So he's saying, if you got it on you, there's a way to get it off you. He said, but if I don't never let you have no problems, I'm getting to the will. If I never let you have no problems, you won't know that I'm a problem solver. He said, so my will is that you live right. He says that in Romans, he said, my will is that your mind be transformed, means go from one state to another, come from thinking like this to thinking of faith, to thinking of prosperity, to thinking of healing, to believing. Like you say, you got to hear it over and over, repetitious, like a rumor. Sometimes we hear a rumor, might not be true, but if we hear it more than a couple times, we start to sway towards it being true. Just in our humanity. Just like, I heard that three times. It got to be something to it, girl. Yeah, come on, somebody. And God is saying, believe my word. Get that in you over and over and over. And sway towards believing that, because it's true. Whether you hear it five times or one time, it's true. I'm not a man that I should lie. Say, I will fight your battle. You just show up for it. Just show up. Let me get the victory. Just play your part. Assume your position. He says, so how are you going to do my will if you don't be a participant? You can't sit back and want me to do everything, and then when things don't fall like you want to fall, you go to saying God ain't real or God ain't able. He said, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm Jehovah Nisi. I can do all things but fail. And we say, but God. But God what? But God is able. But God is all-knowing, but God is all-present, but God is the miracle worker, but God, whatever you need God to be, he say, I am that thing you need me to be. If you need me to help you do my will, ask me, surrender those things of the world to me and say, Lord, help me with my temperament, for it's your will that I be gentle and meek and humble. So help me be meek and gentle and help me suffer long. Because those are the fruits of the Spirit. He said, whatever you need, I gave you everything. I just need you to get in possession to receive it. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he said, it's finished. He went back to heaven and sat down and said, I need the Holy Spirit. Y'all got everything y'all need. So don't come crying saying, God, and, oh, God said, I already did it. It's finished. I'm sitting down cheering you on because I know that you got what you need to work with. He said, but I need you to submit some of them things to me. He says, whatever you got, that's not lining up with the word, just ask me to help you to overcome it. That cussing spirit, that putting the child down, or the child talking about the mama, disrespectful. He said, I know that nothing is impossible, but I need you to believe that I'm able to do it. He says, when you come to me, Deborah, do you believe I'm able to clean you up? I'm just going to bring it on home. Do you believe that I'm able to wash you, make you whole? Do you believe that I'm able to deliver you from any substance, any mind-altering things that take you from here to there and you're not in your mind? Do you believe that I'm able to heal your body from the head to your feet? Do you believe I'm able? He says, my will that you be healthy and in good health and that you prosper. It's not my will that you be in the food stamp line and that you be over there and this is the food, the soup. Ain't nothing wrong with that because God said, feed the hungry, feed the needy. He said, but if you are a child of God, if you you mine, my chosen vessel, my anointing. There's blessings and there's favor that I have already predestinated for you to have, but I need you to get in position. It's my will that you have it. He said, so ask me how to get in the will. He just said, God, help me as you promised so I may live, you know, to do the things you called me to do. And God, I'm going to be honest with you that I noticed my temper has been a little short with people, and I'm asking you to help me with my temperament. God, I need you to help me with fasting and turning the plate down. It's your will that I don't give to gluttony. It's your will that I sacrifice some time and fast and seek your face. It's your will. I want to do your will. And just some examples. God, help me. Help me do your will. Help me turn the TV off and stop putting all the garbage in and expect garbage not to come out. He said, whatever you feed your spirit, that's what's going to be inside of you. So feed the spirit and feed, solve the flesh. So, Lord, how do I do that? In your word, like you say, I put on the YouTube and I find my preacher or whatever. Most of the time I sit here. Most of the time, 90% of the time I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be focusing and no other distractions because I'm sitting there for something to get to help me on my way on this day. You know, so I try to sit there. And every blue moon, I move and go to the kitchen. But for the most part, I'm sitting there because I'm in need, because I realize that I missed the mark. I realize that God willed that I would do these things, and then people will see. See, when he says, be a walking epistle, he said, I need you to walk it out, not talk it out, because people talk all the time, but people watch your walk. Let them see that my will in your life is being done by being kind and being generous and being long-suffering and having that temperament under control. And like you say in Galatians, being kind, gentle, faithfulness, being faithful and having self-control, not just blurting out anything that your mind think, you know. And God is saying, these are the fruits of the Spirit. I want you to walk in my will. And I want you to bring others in. I want you to talk about how I delivered you, set somebody else free. He said, I didn't clean you up and get you going to be sitting in your house and thinking you all there a bag of chips, honey dip, peanut, and Diet Coke on the side. He said, no, I clean you up so you could be a testimony to somebody else that don't believe that you will let my will be known to them in a way that's pleasing to something but my sight. You let them know that God did it. God did it. Giving God his glory. God did it. How did he do it? Well, this is what he did for me. And you tell people, he said, you can't be ashamed of where I brought you from because then you're not doing my will. Because my will was I clean you up and I let you be a soldier in the army. That you go and you help other people come off of whatever they own, come from wherever they at, and that they may be healed. And that they may do my will. They may seek me first. He said, seek me first, the kingdom of God, and my righteousness, and the rest shall be added. So he said, if you seek me and what's right, I already know what you need. I'm going to add it to you. I'm going to open up a window in heaven and pour out a blessing. You won't have room to store. You have to make room for the blessing I'm going to pour out for you. He said, but seek me first. That's my will. Seek me. Not Buddha. Not this. Seek me. God. Seek me. I am. Seek me in my righteousness. You know what's right and what's wrong. That's times people do things and you see them looking around, they know they're doing something wrong because they're looking around to see who's looking to see them that they're going to do it. And so we don't need nobody to really tell us when we of age. We know what's wrong. We know we lied on our taxes. We know we lied. Come on, somebody. We know we tell the people we don't make this much money because we want to get this thing. We want to get this food stamps. We, God know.
Yeah.
He said, just be honest. If you got an area where you ain't telling the truth, ask me to help you be honest. Say, Lord, I need to fill out this application, but help me be honest and you give me favor. Well, even with something that disqualified me, you will give me favor still because I was honest.
Amen.
So he said, seek my will. Do what I ask you to do. I ask you to live a life that's pleasing to something in my sight. I know you can't do it on your own. I know you need the Holy Spirit. I know you need guidance. I know you need all this. He said, but ask me for it. And then walk in it. If you fail, you get back up. Who say you're going to make it the first time, the second time? He said, just practice it over and over, like you practice a hobby or a habit. You practice it over and over until you get good at it, and then you start teaching somebody else, well, this is what helped me. This is how I came over. This is how God showed me. Or this is what my mentor, or this is what the pastor, this is what my teacher, or my mother, or my daddy, this is what helped me. He says, hey, live a life that's pleasing and acceptable. He said, I know what you're made of. I already know what you're going to do before you do it. He said, but I ask you to come back and ask me to forgive you. As his prayer say, forgive me, Lord, as, keyword, A-S, as I forgive others. Man, I can't be holding on to what my mama did, and if I'm asking God to forgive me, I can't be talking about what my daughter did and holding on and don't want to speak to her and ain't giving her no allowance and ain't letting her out of the house because I'm mad about something and I'm holding on, but I'm saying, God, forgive me for my sin. God said, what, like you forgave your daughter? That's what you want me to do? No, God, not like that, because we know it ain't right. You know how hard we still ain't forgave. People got residue or forgiveness and sitting around. And you know when you would normally do something for somebody and they ask you, but you still mad about something. So you don't give it, or you don't do it because you still holding on to something. Normally you would have gave it, or you would have did it, saying yes to it, whatever it is. But you're saying no when it's in your power to do it. God said, there's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. There's some unforgiveness stuff.
Well, we're running out of time, Deborah. Go ahead and finish up your statement. I don't want to cut off on you.
Okay, I just want God to just help us to do his will, because he's able. He said, I ain't going to put no more on you than you could bear. So be encouraged, my sisters. Be encouraged. God says, I got you. Just cast all your cares on me because I care. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah. That was good. All right, mothers and daughters, I mean, this show went by quick today. But anyway, I just want to say thank you for joining us. Take this word, pass it around, let somebody else hear it. If you're wondering how you can help serve the Lord and you don't know how, pass the word of the Lord on, because you'll be a blessing to someone else. We'll be right back.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, Deborah, that's our show. Mother's Daughters, we'll see you next week. Thank you. It was a great show. Deborah, it blessed me. I got something to sit back and think about right now. So,
amen.
Continue, yes. And you're right. He's not going to put no more on me than I can bear. And I just need to relax in that. And thank you for that. That resonated in my spirit. I love you. And I'll see you next week. And, of course, we'll talk during the week. Love you. Goodbye.
Amen. Love you all. Love you too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.